Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing for Friday the 12th of April. I'm Derek Clark and it brings me great delight to say I'm joined by Stevie Clifford. How's it going, Stevie?
I'm all right, mate. It's quite difficult seeing the kids aren't at school. I'm barely awake now, so normally by the time I'm taking them to school and walk the dog and all that, I'm all right, but I'm struggling now, so still upstairs as well, Derek, so...
Yeah, banished to the room, but the Rangers room, so it's not bad scenery behind you, Stevie. But yeah, before we crack on with all things at Rangers, just a quick word for our podcast sponsors, MPH Boilers. They've got some cracking Viessmann boilers on offer at this moment in time. They've got flexible finance options, first year service absolutely free. They've got a free internet controller that they fire in with the deal as well. The all-important links and details are in the description below this video, so do go and check them out. Right, where shall we start? Of course, the Rangers press conference took place yesterday, folks, if you aren't aware. It was due to the postponement on Wednesday. Rangers brought it forward, so it wasn't today as it normally is, ahead of Sunday's game against Ross County. Lots of interesting takeaways from the game. But before we pick up on that, Stevie, great piece on the website, folks. Do go and check it out from Stevie this morning, just on what has been another mental week in the world of Scottish football. Of course, the farcical decision to postpone Wednesday's game against Dundee has been the main topic of discussion. And of course, Rangers getting the blame from some quarters, as expected, from a few cranks on social media, as is the norm. But it's a great read. I'd urge you to go and check it out. The link is in the description below. Stevie, what have you made of it all over the last, 40 hours or so?
It's all a bit pathetic, Derek, really. I don't think anybody will be surprised to know that I'm a wee bit miffed with stuff that's been said. Look, it's not our responsibility. It's not our pitch, right? That's job one. It's a job of the host club to make sure their pitch is up to scratch and playable. It's not. I don't see how that's anything to do with Rangers. Did Rangers not turn up the first time, or did they not turn up the second time, or did they refuse to play? No. Nothing like that happened. So it all seems to be centred around the fact that Rangers apparently refused to play last midweek, which is an absolute load of nonsense. The pitch was never ready. It was barely ready for Motherwell at the weekend, Derek. And everybody knows that. In fact, Dundee, you know, made that quite clear, so it wasn't an issue. And even, do you know what, Derek? Even if we did say, no, we don't want to play last week because we're on the build-up to a big old firm game that could be season-defining, who cares? That's our situation. We're allowed to do that, and we should be allowed to make that play to the league and say, you know what, we need the time and we want the clear week, as it would have been anyway. So, you know, none of that's unfair, even if it did happen, which it didn't. And it's all a bit pathetic. I'm sick of everything being our fault, and even the smallest things turned into the biggest mountains, you know, just because it's to do with our club. And it's really quite pathetic. God help us, Derek. See, if we win this league, this country will go into meltdown for the whole summer. You know what I mean? And I'm just, it's all a wee bit tiresome. It really, really is. How another pitch could be in such a state of disrepair and it's somehow Rangers' fault is remarkable. As I said in my piece this morning, I was almost waiting for us getting blamed for the Masters getting delayed yesterday. So it's all, Derek, it just becomes tedious and all a bit boring. It's the same as what else I talk about in the column, the punditry, this shock jock nonsense. Like every time we get a penalty or a decision, it's outrageous, it's this, it's that. You know, you kick a guy knee high and it's all the conspiracies in the world and VAR's out to help Rangers win the league. As I pointed out in the piece, if VAR didn't get involved last week, Rangers would have won that game. If VAR didn't get involved in the first game at Ibrox, Rangers would have won that game. So, I don't, it's some conspiracy that, Derek. You know, if VAR's out to help us and everything else, it's just, it's all a bit, it becomes really draining and really tiresome when we should be on here talking about Rangers' quest to try and get 3 points on Sunday at County, Rangers' title challenge, Scottish Cup, you know, etc. By the end of next week, Derek, we could be top of the league and in a Scottish Cup final as well as having won the League Cup. Can we not concentrate on that instead of talking about all this absolute nonsense?
Yeah. Just on the pitch as well, I mean, Dundee wanted extra time so they can make sure the pitch was playable. So, that doesn't fit into the narrative of some, of course. There has been some alternative venues. Mooty, you'd have seen an SPFL statement yesterday saying that they are looking at that if we are at the same scenario next week. Daily Mail reporting that Dundee have held talks with Hibs, St Johnstone and St Mirren over potentially playing the match at their respective stadium. So certainly one to keep an eye on. I'd get the game. I'd make a decision now. Get the game moved from there. I don't want to risk having the players heading up there again and the same situation arising once more. So the decision shouldn't be in the hands of Dundee. It should be taken out of their hands and the game moved just to make sure we get a game on. We will have a game on Sunday. Thankfully, climate change hasn't had an adverse effect on Dingwall as it has on Dens Park. So we will have a game on Sunday. Let's look ahead to that because it's a huge game. Potential as well with the farcical week that we've just encountered, that Rangers could be going into that game 4 points behind in the title race. I know they had the games in hand, but you always want the points on the board. Some of the big talking points from yesterday's press conference, there were a few questions scattered about, was heavily dominated with the postponement. The manager did confirm that Mohamed Diamandé is out. He has had surgery on his thumb, which I've never heard about before, but he suffered that injury in the Old Firm game last Sunday. So he's going to be missing. So that is an opportunity for someone else to come in. Other than that, Stevie, do you expect to see any other changes perhaps heading into this game? A chance perhaps to start? We're on a decent surface, so like some Matondo, Seema, Cantwell could come back in. I'd never get an update on Ridvan yesterday, did we? So Bonner might start that game. What's your feeling ahead of it?
Well, I'd certainly make changes.
Yeah.
I think that's clear. I would expect that we most likely will be playing catch-up, you know, to the tune of 4 points, which is fine. It's just one of these things you need to deal with, and you know that the prize at the end of it should be bigger than the challenge in front of them, kind of thing, Derek. So that's what they need to keep their minds focused on and concentrate on as well. But with regard to Rangers are in a pretty good position squad wise to make a few changes. Diamandé being out for a couple of weeks is disappointing, but there'll be room for somebody else to come in that midfield as well. So I think, if I remember rightly, when we played Ross County at home, somebody might need to correct me, I think they did go with a slightly more attacking kind of thing in the middle, with possibly that was the time where they were playing Cantwell, Lawrence and Lundstrom. I can't remember if Diamandé played in that game, so somebody might need to correct me. But there is an opportunity perhaps to mix it up a wee bit like that. And The Ross County home game, you know, Rangers were firmly in charge. I think we had something like, you know, 40-odd attempts on goal. I think that was that one where the goalkeeper, didn't he, had a miraculous night and we only managed to win 3-1. Yeah. So we go up there with a bit of confidence. It will be a difficult game. Ross County are a decent enough side. They've got a few players up front. I think Brophy and Simon Murray and that are difficult players. So you can have that kind of challenge as well. But we should really be going up there, Derek, and putting our kind of momentum and our game onto them and winning that one. So we just got to hope that's the case. I would be, like you said, I would be making a few changes. I think Matondo's done enough to come in on the left-hand side and start. I think Seema's done enough to start on the right. So you've got them options, both of them. You can switch them about a wee bit during games, keep everybody guessing, you know, have 5 minutes reversed and keep everybody up to speed. You've got the capability to bring Cantwell in a wee bit of legs back in midfield, which I would do as well. And then hopefully the left-back situation's a wee bit clearer. Maybe get Sterling into the midfield if Diamandé, well, Diamandé's not playing, so maybe get Sterling in there if somebody can play at left-back. So I think it's options, Derek, and they are good options. They're decent options as well. So, and he might choose to mix it up slightly as well with three games in the space of a week. But at least with the fixtures, Derek, being Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, there is a wee bit of breathing space there. If we were to play Hearts in the semi-final on the Saturday early, for example, I'd be a wee bit disappointed in the time we have round. But, you know, Sunday, Hampden after the next two league games gives us at least, you know, the 3-day break. So we've got plenty of time. There's the group's getting bigger again, and we can mix it up a wee bit. It's just how he chooses to go from there. I'm really disappointed that the last couple of press conferences have been dominated by questions about pitches and stuff, Derek. I would have loved to have asked him. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend due to work, but I would have loved to have asked him if he had the chance to reflect on the old form and, you know, what were his main takeaways from the first and the second half in terms of tactically and kind of individual performances. What did he make of them? And, you know, what is the training reaction been like? Things like that. But it's just disappointing that these questions were all kind of dominated by the pitch, which I understand. But yesterday there was a 17-minute press conference, Derek, and there was one question on Ross County and the rest were all on Dundee's pitch. And you could see the kind of frustration of the manager who kept saying, I'd really like to at some point talk about football. So I would have liked to have maybe challenged Clement a wee bit more and found out a wee bit more about, you know, his thoughts. But it is what it is, and we look forward to Sunday and the presser and stuff like that afterwards, and hopefully we'll get some more answers on the likes of Red Van and things like that.
Yeah, those pitch questions should be directed at the governing body, the SPFL, who have
shown... How many times did he say it, though, yesterday?
Yeah.
So I can sense the frustration, but maybe he should have said something like, look, we'll take a couple of questions on Dundee first and then go into everyone else. Because I enjoy listening to Clement, I just would have liked to have seen some questions expanded and try and get some kind of answers of, you know, where he is on the performance last week. And if he didn't think it was up to scratch in the first half, how does he fix it? What does he put it down to? What did he take from that game into the rest of these fixtures, etc., etc.? So there was lots of things that I would like to have seen him asked. And, you know, it's the guys are entitled to ask what they want, no criticism to them, but I just would have liked to have seen it diversified a wee bit.
Yeah, he deals with the football side of things. The issue about logistics, pitches and what have you should be directed at other people. And as I mentioned there, we touched on it yesterday when it was on me, Johnny, the SPFL have zero leadership at this moment in time. We've not seen anything of Neil Doncaster coming out. We know we had the statement yesterday, but this is a situation that shouldn't have manifested itself up to this point. And it's really telling that we're at this and we're going to try again apparently next week. But let's move on. Lots of points coming in with regards to potential changes for Sunday. Brian Doherty with a point says Dill could come in for Dio. I actually think he's a decent footballer. Hopefully he can give us a good run in on the left-back situation. Stephen Gillespie with a point. This is a chance to try one of the younger players at left-back. Bonner's not had the best of times of late, Steve. He looks like someone that's mentally perhaps checked out. I don't blame him because he's coming to the end of his Rangers tenure. Would you be inclined to start one of the younger boys perhaps out there? I don't think Dujon, as much as he did well against Celtic, as we touched on there, I'd like to see him in the middle of the park or on the right-hand side of that midfield or forward line. At left back, I'm trying to think who could potentially come in. Young Robbie Fraser, of course, Johnny Lefeko. But at this stage of the season, it would be a big call from the manager to stick one of those young lads in there.
Yeah, which is why I kind of shook my head at the suggestion. It's an all right suggestion, but it's not going to happen, is it? He's not going to drop, you know, a senior player, or even if they are out of position, in favour of giving a youngster their first try. I don't think that's going to happen at all. It's just the wrong time to try and do it. Likewise, you know, I had the discussion, you know, about dropping, you know, Goldson in form. I don't think, or even Lundstrom, or whoever you want to say, I don't think a senior player comes out of the team, Derek, in that run-in with just seven games left and, you know, big cup semi-finals and stuff like that. So I don't expect that to happen. And like the same as with young Robbie Fraser, who is the only kind of left back, I think, natural left back. I would have liked to have seen Robbie get a chance at some point, but if he's not played now, by now, I don't see him suddenly getting thrown in a title running. I don't think that's fair and odd either. So, no, I would expect you know, if Borna didn't play and if Ridvan was still out, I think they would start looking towards Ben Davis even at left back before if they decided that Dujon wasn't to fill in there. So no, I think we've got enough options in the squad without having to take a risk, Derek.
Yeah, you like to think, as James says, that Borna could handle Ross County. There's an interesting point as well from Denzel just on the defence. This ties in with my predicted lineup, which proved to be a futile exercise when me and Chris popped our predicted lineups ahead of Dundee earlier in the week. He says, I'd like to see Balogun back, rest Golson, and maybe Lunny gets a break. I would have Leon Balogun in the back line, Stevie. I don't think Connor Goldson's showing the sort of form that is deserving of a starting place. Again, it would be a big call from the manager. I think Connor would be would accept the decision if he was starting on the bench. I think he'll know himself. He's not playing anywhere near the standards that he set himself and what he's capable of. Leon at the back for you, is that a goer?
I think if you take Goldson and Lundstrom out of that team, Derek, it's a lot of leadership. It's a lot of kind of stature within the team. And I'm not saying to Denzel or anybody else that I wouldn't mind those changes. I think it's just you have to be mindful of the effect that changes make on a squad and in a dressing room, in a run-in. Connor Goldson, for me, and I've covered this before, I think it's a really hard time off us because there's so much baggage. And I think that sometimes magnifies things that he does on the pitch. But it cannot mask what he performed like last Sunday. And I think that's been coming from Goldson in some ways, Derek, because he has been spooked. We've spoken about this for quite a while. He has been spooked by goals that he's conceded this year. I think he's not been the same since Aberdeen's goal where it went over the top of him and Majowski ran in. So there's been lots of moments where Goldson's really not handled himself well. Teal Bear with Motherwell absolutely tore him to shreds, and he had a really atrocious game. And last week, he not only did he play poorly, but his distribution and passing and decision-making was really, really poor. To the point where, as we discussed earlier on in the week, he was taken off at the end because we wanted to shore that up. And that, for me, was telling. Could Leon Balogun come back in? I think Leon's more than comfortable to come back in. But again, we haven't really seen Balogun since before the break, have we? So he played a couple of games after it and then got that facial injury. So it's a big ask to ask him to come in as well. I just don't see it being a change that Clement would make. And what effect could that have on it? On Goldson, on the dressing room and stuff like that. I'm just not sure he does it. One thing I am sure of is that Goldson really needs to pick up his form, Derek. I mean, I think that's non-negotiable.
It's a major worry.
Yeah, I think so. The thing about Connor is when he's had these wee dips in the past, he's always kind of responded and come back. I don't think he's done that this time. So there is a big question mark. It is nice that we have somebody like Leon who can come in and can play. So it's an interesting dilemma for the manager. And again, would have been the perfect question to ask him yesterday. Yeah. Do you have an issue at your centre-back position? Are you concerned by the form of Connor Goldson so much that you had to bring him off in the last couple of games of the Old Firm? I mean, that's a major, major decision, and it seems nobody's asked that question. So it's a really interesting, or it would have been a really interesting one to get the manager's viewpoint on that. Is it something you're considering changing? Why did you make that change with only a couple of minutes left? Because there didn't seem to be an injury as he sprinted off. So what's your thinking behind that? But we'll never know, and we'll just need to wait and see what the selection is like on Sunday.
Yep. Thomas McCrimmon doesn't agree. He says dropping Goldson would be lunacy. Won't happen. There's a few comments coming in off the back of it. Point here, 56 incoming, says if we're trying to build Goldson's confidence back up, then he should be playing against Ross County. Alan agrees with me, though. He says, agreed, Derek. Drop Goldson. The team is bigger than him. Big Leon should play and give him another 12 months contract too. I've seen a few fans, some are undecided. I've got to say, I'm a bit undecided on that, given Leon another extension to his deal. I think behind the scenes, the manager touched on it last week. He says he's an inspiring figure, especially for the young lads. I can imagine him being a manager's dream, someone you can hang your hat on and rely upon. But it depends on whether He wants to be playing more football. What is he now, 37 years of age? I think if he's happy to be a sort of bit part player and be a bit of an inspiring figure behind the scenes, a bit of a leadership figure behind there, would you be opposed to giving him a new deal, Stevie? I know that Rangers may be looking at two centre-backs in the summertime. We expect Ben Davis to move on. We've had a discussion, I think, me and you last week about whether it's time to look at selling Connor Goldson. Of course, that's not even going into the left-back situation. I'd imagine there'll be a lot of noise surrounding Ridvan Bonner. We know will be departing. So there'll be a lot of movement in that centre-back area. Would you like to see Leon stay on?
I think potentially there you could end up losing your whole kind of defence there, couldn't you? Left-back, Bonner's going to go. Ridvan, there's going to be interest in. Tavernier, there's going to be interest in. At 32, is it the right time to say goodbye to Tavernier? That's an interesting one. Dujon could finally be our first choice right back. Then in the middle, you know, Suter's going to stay. I think that's the only one you can really count on. Davis is going to go. I think the time might be right to look at the situation with Connor Goldson, like we discussed. So Leon Balogun getting another year might just be a continuity thing, Derek, because can't change everybody. We spoke about this, and I don't really want to go into what we are going to do in the summer because we slightly went on about it the other day, and I don't really want to do that. But I think it's fair to say there's going to be massive changes. And we can't change 20 players. So there might be some give and take. There might be some leadership that stays and things like that. So, you know, especially when you consider what happens if you did lose Goldson, you did lose Lundstrom, you did lose Tavernier from that dressing room. Yeah, new people would emerge and new kind of leadership would emerge naturally. I understand that, but it's a lot to lose. Somebody like Leon might be as a backup fourth, fifth choice, might be an idea, but that's going to be up to the manager come the summer. For the moment, you know, would he play on Sunday if it was up to me? Yes. If it was up to me, Connor Goldson would come out of that team. But I am merely the man, Derek, on this show, not the one making the decision. So that's up to the manager.
Yep, absolutely. I'm torn on it, I've got to say. I'm also torn on John Lundstrom as well. Before, I was all for giving him a new deal. It has to be the right one for Rangers. I think you said before, Stevie, I'm not looking to pay him another 30 grand a week for however long. I think that's why there's a bit of an impasse between player and club at this moment in time. It's whether they can reach the happy medium with regards to that. Other news that you'd have seen yesterday, and it's in terms of the Scottish coefficient and Europe, Scottish Premiership will no longer have an automatic Champions League group stage place from next season, so the season after next, after being leapfrogged by the Czech Republic in the coefficient rankings. Scotland are now 11th, whereas the Czech Republic are now in 10th. That's after Victoria Pilsen kept a clean sheet in their 0-0 draw with Fiorentina. Now, we all know the Champions League is changing as of next season as well. But lots of, I've seen a lot of comments based on it. I've seen some people blaming all clubs for not pulling their weight as well, Stevie, which is a bit rich considering Rangers have won more coefficient points, I think, than the rest of the Scottish clubs put together in recent seasons. I think they're set the third only to Man City and Bayern Munich, if I'm not mistaken, as well, over recent years as well. So certainly Rangers have been pulling their weight. The only reason that Scotland had an extra Champions League place was because of Rangers' exploits in Europe. But this is a sign of the times that Scottish football isn't doing enough on the bigger stage, Stevie.
I think it's a collective thing, Derek. I think that every team has helped this situation. Helped, obviously, I'm using sarcastically. But, like, so, you know, I think Motherwell getting put out by Sligo and stuff like that, all that kind of stuff, Derek, adds up and doesn't help. We could have done with, you know, it's actually been a breath of fresh air, the likes of Hearts and Aberdeen getting into the group stage stuff.
Yeah.
And that's been great. Picking up a few wins here and there has been good, but it's been too little too late. And let's be honest, you know, as well as Rangers done, that Champions League qualification under Gio with those six defeats really did hamper us as well. The fact that Celtic haven't won a knockout tie in so long and things like that, that it all adds up and eventually catches up. And yeah, I think we've all got a responsibility, our club included, to keep doing well and keep trying to get results where we can. And it's just disappointing. I think it was always going to happen. Yeah. Once it got to the case of, you know, you're getting chased down so much, then, and our points were always going to drop off and things like that as well from the really good season. And they both had good campaigns in Europe. I remember Celtic getting results in Lazio and stuff like that. And that really helped that season. We need to have more like that. And from a coefficient point of view, from a national team point of view, you know, national team, seven defeats in a row and stuff like that. It's not positive at the moment, Derek. So I think it's a collective responsibility of everyone in the league to try and, you know, do better. But I can almost guarantee, Derek, that by the end of the day, this will be back to being solely down to Rangers and it'll be our fault as well. So it's hard to feel sorry for anybody else. Also seeing the thing that if Rangers still win the league, that we most likely still directly go in because of our performance in previous years and stuff. So, you know, there's a part of you that goes, well, why should we bother about this league and how they act to us, which is currently ongoing at the moment. And there's the other part of you that you want to see, you know, two spaces and as much kind of qualification points as possible. So,
yeah,
it's disappointing. It really is overall. But I think that Scottish football for a long time has been firefighting this eventually happening. And I think that those paying attention closely and things like that should be worried about the national team's performance as well. So it's a disappointing one all round.
Yep. King Charles Spaniel says Champions League is too difficult for Scottish teams. It is. Listen, if Rangers do qualify for it, it's all about the finances that come with it. I don't think that the most optimistic of Rangers fans expects Rangers to go far in that competition, but it's the prestige factor. I've turned off the Champions League in recent years. It's boring for me. Same teams playing each other. We know the way it's going. Super League kind of format. Europa League is where it's at. And I've got to say, Stevie, I seen the scores last night and a hint of what might have been. I know Benfica defeated Marseille. They're in a good position. The Atalanta result down at Anfield was a bit of a shocker for Liverpool. I'm sure Dublin will be rejoicing, though, at the prospect of the vast amounts of Liverpool fans not heading over to Dublin in a good few weeks' time. But yes, sort of looking at it last night, thinking, oh, what might have been?
Yeah, I mean, I would have fancied us against Marseille. I've got to be honest, I would have given us a good chance there. And, you know, certainly above 50-50, I would have said we certainly had a good stab at that. And then you never know, but I expected Liverpool to beat Atalanta, but old football manager legend Shamaka, that boy can fire in a few goals. Derek comes up trumps, and you know, it's a bit of a pumping. Let's be honest. But if they can beat, what I would say is, as mental as this might sound, if Atalanta can beat Liverpool 3-0, Liverpool can beat them 3-0 next week. So I don't think it's quite as over as what people might think. I think that's still got legs in it. But it was a surprising result. You never know if Liverpool go properly with their full strength 11 and really go for it in the first half and find ourselves maybe 2-0 at half time or whatever. That game's still on, so there's a long way to
go. Over the last time.
Well, there you go then. So there's still a long way to go, and it was a really surprising result, and it raised a kind of eyebrow or two. But I think that competition is pretty wide open, really.
Yeah.
Really wide open, so it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
Yep, right, folks. We'll wrap up there. Huge thanks to Stevie. How do you think it's going to go on Sunday, Stevie?
Well, listen, Derek, Shona and myself are heading up there, and we've once we went to Dundee and we're outside the stadium when it called off. Midweek, we were an hour into our journey and it was called off. And this one, I think, takes us 3.5 hours, so we're leaving at something like 6 in the morning. And Shona's already warned me that she gets quite grumpy in the morning. So it's going to be a fun-filled trip. And I'm looking forward, obviously, to Shona, who done really well, by the way, on TalkSport yesterday, Derek. She went on and put her points across on behalf of Rangers fans.
Good stuff.
Jim White and Jordan. So was Simon Jordan, isn't
Simon
it?
Jordan,
so,
yeah.
And then Jim White's obviously come out this morning and said exactly what Shona said, that that the pitch wasn't available to play on last week. Dundee had told the league that, which we all know, but obviously that's a Rangers issue. So well done to her for that. I'm sure I'll not hear the end of it. It's going to be, you know, her talking about TalkSport and me talking about River City all the way up to Dingwall on Sunday. How do I think it's going to go? I'd like to see Rangers go up there and get a solid, unspectacular 2-0 victory. I would love that. I really would. Just shore it up a little bit.
Yeah,
shore it up, right? Create some chances, play some decent enough football, but look secure. I think that's important. Then on Dundee, wherever we play them, St Mirren, Hibs, Mars, wherever it's going to be, I'd want the exact same during midweek as well. So hopefully the next week Rangers can settle it down a wee bit, Derek, and just not consolidate, just tighten up a wee bit. Get some morale boosting kind of clean sheets and victories behind them, and then see where that takes them, because it's a big week. Look, without the noise and all the other rubbish, you know, by the end of next week, we could be in a Scottish Cup final and top of the league, and that needs to be the focus. And then it's a split, and you've got, what, 5 games left in a cup final. So, you know, let's get back to focusing on what's really important, which is us concentrating on ourselves and everything from everyone, Derek.
Yeah, Shona gets in touch, Stevie. She says, try being in a car with Stevie for 3 hours. 3.5 hours, Shona. It's a long old trip up there. So good luck with that.
Listen, my patter is legendary, right? You know what I mean? And you've spent days with me. What was it like in Napoli? You know what I mean? That's what I would say to Shona. So,
well, I don't think there'll be tenant super lager in the car, that's for sure. So you'll need to do
it. Well, there might be for me, but there won't be for her. So, it should be good fun. Try being in the car for Stevie for 3 hours. That's blasphemy, Derek. So.
I'm sure it'll be a glorious journey up and an even better journey down. Shona says his chat is horrendous. I believe you, Shona. you're bang on there. Right, that will do us there. Just a heads up of what's to come. For those of you that are members on the YouTube channel, I'm going to be on with Ali at 2 p.m. this afternoon for our weekly Q&A show. If you aren't a member, it's easy to sign up. There's a join button on the homepage of the Rangers Review site on the YouTube channel. Click that. You get 3 to 5 extra videos a week, $2.99 a month it is. And I'll be on with Ali this afternoon. So I'll be firing up on the community section. So we'll get your questions in, folks, and we'll get through as many as we possibly can. It's a show that is driven by you guys. Huge thanks to Stevie and to everyone for tuning in as ever. And we'll speak to you a little later on. If not, enjoy your weekend and hope your team wins on Sunday. Bye for now.